Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If I don't bring this up enough here on Grassroots Marketing, here on CannabisRadio.com, thank you for joining us, about how often we're able to go ahead and get some of the wonderful people that you have on this program on a regular basis. Well, one of those conduits that helps me out and really bring some great guests on board here on the program is an accomplished PR executive we're going to have on. He started his cannabis strategic communications practice in 2018. He's built it into an industry-leading force. A former advisor to the New York State Senate and New York State Governor's Office. He's led award-winning strategic communications programs for a broad spectrum of clients up and down the cannabis supply chain, as well as ancillaries and non-planting entities. So you might have heard quite a few of his clients here on the network, but, you know, it's comes down to it. He is a cannabis power player, as mentioned by Politics New York. For the second year in a row, I'm here with the Senior Vice President of Marino PR and founder of Marino Cannabis Practice, Jordan Eisenstadt. Jordan, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here today.
So it's always about the other side of the PR coin that I'm always interested by, because what we do at Cannabis Radio and how a Marino PR works hand in hand, there's not too much apart in terms of the plan on the messaging. And in the current state of things right now with cannabis, I don't remember if you're one of the people that reached out to me that when I got a flush of people trying to reach out and say, hey, the DEA cannabis rescheduling, it's been made official. They're going to finalize it. And I got a rush of PR people that were just clamoring to get their clients on board. And it's one of those things I had not seen in a long time. What can you tell me about that experience right there in terms of, you know, when there's a story out there and when's the right time to position your clients to get them up in front and forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again for the opportunity, Jorge. Pleasure to work with you and the whole Cannabis Radio team. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like you said, we're on opposite sides of the coin, but we're all about telling stories about the cannabis industry, because there are so many fascinating people and companies and you know, efforts that are going on in this industry, which is frankly unlike any other industry. So, you know, we've had the opportunity to partner on having a number of different, you know, clients from up and down the supply chain on your show and other other media opportunities. And, you know, when you're telling stories about your clients, obviously there is, you know, whatever it is that they are that they're doing, the exciting developments going on at that company. And then there are these moments when our clients can actually speak to news of the day. And that's what we in the industry call newsjacking. And so rescheduling reform was one of those moments. Over the last, 7 years, I can think of, a handful of other moments, whether it was, the election of, President Biden, or moments when we thought safe banking was going to pass. And then, obviously moving down to more of the state level, key moments in, various states legalizing. So there are these moments when you can put your clients out there and source them as experts to comment on these key critical moments. And, again, rescheduling reform was one of those things that we had been hearing about and talking about for months. I mean, literally going back to 2023, we were prepared. I mean, some of our clients, we already had drafted statements and we had strategies and we were ready to go. And then we waited and we waited and waited. And, many people at MJ BizCon, which is in November, a lot of people were speculating, oh, they're going to, federal government's going to say something today. And I was like, no, they're not. No, they're not. And, here we are. We got to, about a month ago, in May of 2024, when the news, finally, hit, and, it was exciting. And, the key, about PR is about being prepared. And we were prepared. Our clients were ready to go. They knew their messaging, and they knew what they had to add to the conversation. So it's exciting to have moments like that, and it's exciting to be just part of a movement where we're normalizing and destigmatizing. And that's what the Schedule III announcement to me really comes down to, because I think there's been a lot of speculation of how much of a difference is it really going to make. I think the biggest difference is that cannabis is being talked about in the halls of Congress, and this, this plant is finally getting, starting to get destigmatized and normalized.
There's a lot that we've broken down, and we've really gone granular at the implications, the real benefits, and the consequences that come across from having rescheduling be in place. We've gone through it all. One thing I'll ask about this too is that when it comes to the clients you bring on board, and this is what between you and me and Jordan, when it comes down to with every PR person I've worked out here with, 10 years in the business, okay? And I think to myself that when it comes to positioning and working with someone like yourself and making sure that for the Cannabis Radio audience, for those that know me long enough, when I do blunt business or grassroots marketing, you know what you're coming in for. And you'll know that I will ask questions that are going to be within the gamut of where I want the programming to be. But also, I don't do gotcha questions. I don't do anything like that. I just, as you said, if you're going to give me somebody that's an expert in the space, I'm going to take the advantage of him and I'm going to use it for as much as I can, because there's a lot to be said. And that's where I think the best interviews come from. I know a lot of podcasters and a lot of other media outlets, they like to do profiles. Sometimes for me, that's fine. I mean, it's good to have that story, but it's not something that I think is a focus when I'm really trying to stay current news related and very topical and very reference oriented. So when it comes to which media outlets you work with, when you think about what have you learned the most, I guess, from who you had to work on the messaging with you, because you might have your intent of what the messaging should be from a guest that you bring on board, but you're also having to go and work with someone that might have a little bit different agenda, but also with good intent.
Correct. Yeah. So is your question about the media outlets that we've worked with, or the
what you've learned from it? Because say with me, you'll notice it. Like I said, I like to be very topic oriented. Even the pitches I get on board, I'm going to be drawn more towards topics. And like I said, it's this expertise I'm going to have from your team is going to allow me to go and speak on that. Like if I have a chance to talk to a good expert, I'm going to go that route. But obviously every media source that you go out to and you pitch, they're going to have a different modus operandi.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, we've obviously had the opportunity to work with all different types of media outlets, from, your mainstream outlets that are just sort of touching on cannabis and are really looking for a very broad you know, kind of story. And then we work with a number of trade outlets that are, you know, really looking to get more granular. So, you know, there's also, you know, there's some mix and matching there, right? So like the person, the client who's sort of the best fit for, you know, a New York Times interview or, you know, a Forbes interview is going to be very different from, you know, the person that you might put in front of like Gondrepreneur or New York Cannabis Insider or something like that, because there it's, you know, especially with something like rescheduling again, it's gonna impact different clients in different ways. So if you're an ancillary, you've got, you know, a certain perspective and a certain amount of sort of data that you can refer to. Whereas if you're a single state retailer, you know, it's very exciting for the single state retailer because their tax rate can, you know, may effectively change, you know, significantly, but, you know, that may not be of interest, you know, that because that's a single state entity, that might not be of interest to a national reporter. So,
well, Jordan, I want to ask you about that real quick. Give me a little bit of a scale. When it comes to the preference for a client to go on to someone who is very well informed, so like, say, a New York Cannabis Insider or a Forbes, and they would have a real understanding, and their audience is, that are going to tap into is quite informed and educated. They're going to have quite a bit of awareness and understanding of cannabis, as opposed to saying going on to, you know, a news source, like it's a big media source. Like, you know, if you do television or cable, they do TV or cable, like network or cable news, where they're going to try to reach the most amount of people and probably the lowest common denominator. So, you know, they might also play into any particular narratives that have always played out there for a long time in cannabis. I'm not going to say them, but when you look at that, when do you know when this is the right preference for a client?
Yeah. So the biggest thing for us is when we're, you know, when we start working with a client, you know, we develop messaging, we develop sort of lanes of content for, you know, the kinds of issues that they want to be speaking to. But, you know, you also know those people who are, you know, coming in with, you know, decades and decades of experience versus those who are, you know, very new. And so, you know, what you really want to do is you want to figure out, like, where is this person's story and expertise going to shine the most? And so you have to, you know, again, you have to sort of like matchmake a little bit and figure out what would be the you know, kind of the best match. What you don't want to do is, you know, there's an expression in PR, spray and pray, where you essentially just send out a pitch to thousands of media. The best PR professionals out there are, you know, very anti spray and pray. It's very, very targeted. So to the New York Times reporter, we may only be pitching two or three of our clients because we know that they will, you know, engage with the cannabis reporter over there on a certain level as compared to the reporters at New York Cannabis Insider, which are really looking for someone who's, you know, on the ground and can really sort of refer to, you know, day-to-day things that are happening on the street as compared to those who can speak to the larger trends. So, you know, there is a ton of that mixing there. The other thing I'll also say is, you know, part of this is also when you start working with clients, when we start working with clients, one of the things that we always ask is, you know, what is your ideal publication? Like, what are your goals, right? I mean, that's how any business should operate. Right. And oftentimes people will come in and they will say, you know, I want to be in the New York Times. I want to be in the Wall Street Journal. And they'll, you know, name, or I want to be in Vogue, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, sometimes they're right that would be a great audience for them. Of course, the bar to entry is pretty high. Many of our clients, though, will end up telling them, well, actually, you would be much better served by this universe because this is where your customers are, as compared to, you know, the New York Times. And that sort of becomes like a vanity, you know, thing for, you know, for many people. So, you know, I think one of the important things too is to figure out where the client wants to be, figure out if that makes sense for them or not. And then, you know, you want to go with the approach of getting them in front of the media that makes the most sense for them.
on your LinkedIn page. I will say that, you know, I do look quite a bit at what you've been doing in there. And the fact is, I look at the amount of props you get to a lot of your clients and what you've been doing out there and a lot of the work you're doing, very active. And just in the last month for us, we had the folks at NYC Bud here on this program and also had Ben Bernstein from LeafLink, which, again, quite a bit of a spectrum of guests to go with. And I'll tell you, Jordan, like, I mean, I haven't had anybody that felt like was going to be a struggle for me to go ahead and speak with of the clients you brought on board. Just because I know one thing is that you've gotten quite a bit of press already with some of these folks already off the bat. So I can already start looking up things so far, and I can start seeing quite a bit of publicity for these clients right off the bat. Gives me a little bit of that initiative. Plus, the other part is that I get really some as interesting concepts. So like with John Paul Pezza with NYC Bud, the subway dynamic is using that in New York City. And just, you know, the whole thing that's going on in the New York cannabis market. Hotbed of news that I've gone through extensively. With Ben Bernstein, who's, you know, more in the strategy point and a lot of numbers crunching at LeafLink, getting the idea of what holiday sales meant and understanding now that there's various times where, just like any retailer, any conventional retailer, there are certain time periods that are more important, and understanding why those time periods are what they are when it comes to 420, 710, and the holidays, when it comes to cannabis sales on a regular front on a consistent basis. So when you look at who you bring on board, you know, how quickly do the ideas come in for a client that you have that you're onboarding and what you're able to go and do for them?
So when we're proposing new business to a client, we are already ideating of, you know, where this client will sort of fit into the discussion. Like I was saying before, there are different, you know, types of stories that you can get for clients. Some of those are those profile stories about, you know, products, you know, news that they're actually making. And then a big chunk of the rest of it is, what can they comment on? What trends can they comment on? Where can we get them into stories? So this is, you know, it's very much an iterative process, but it really starts when we first meet the client, before they've even, you know, signed the dotted line. We're already starting to think about, you know, where would be appropriate destinations for their story and their commentary. You know, obviously there are, you know, certain clients that are, you know, national, you know, entities like a LeafLink, like a Dutchy and Etain and Air Wellness, that, you know, already, you know, sort of have, you know, a reputation, certain storylines, that they can speak to. And those are awesome. What the other side of the coin is all of these newer companies and newer entities. So, you know, you mentioned NYC Bud, one of the newer New York City based dispensaries. And, you know, it's really fun to, you know, and that's one of the unique opportunities that cannabis brings us, is it's so fun to like get to work with some of these clients before they even, you know, launch. You know, when they're kind of just in their planning phases and figuring out, you know, what is going to be their, you know, what are going to be the things that they're going to be talking about. So, you know, it's really exciting to have that opportunity to work with, you know, both clients that, like, you know, have a roadmap, have a reputation, and those that don't, and getting the opportunity to create those. And again, those conversations happen, you know, basically immediately. And, you know, that's one of the things that we like to do at Merino and on the cannabis practice team, is really to have that seat at the table with the client, so we can make recommendations to them about different things that they can lean into. You know, oftentimes, you know, they think that they may know how the media operates, or they may know how influencers and how people react to them on social media, but having a, you know, third party like us come in and able to, you know, offer feedback, sometimes we could help them pivot. Sometimes we can help them capture a whole new audience that they didn't even realize that they should be going for.
I'm here with the Senior Vice President of Merino PR and founder of Merino Cannabis Practice, Jordan Eisenstadt. Jordan, thanks for being on with us here on Blunt Business. We're back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
I'm here with Jordan Eisenstadt, Senior Vice President of Merino PR and founder of Merino Cannabis Practice. So the difference between local and national news. I want to take from a story from PR News Online. Talk about how, you know, the initiative to prioritize local news because those outlets are hungry for cannabis stories, especially in newly legal states. And one of the things I noticed is that in the local news side, first of all, that at least where I'm at here in West Palm Beach, you know, the market here, they're much more into special interest than ever before. I think COVID really changed the way that, you know, it used to be if it bleeds, it leads. A lot of murders, rapes, you know, accidents, things like that. Kind of just a lot of despair and tragedy for the most part to start off a news broadcast. I don't see that much anymore. I see a lot more special interest, a lot more of what people would actually be caring about or a little more emotionally and more emotionally interested in. And I noticed that with, you know, that looks like the room for cannabis stories are much more prominent because even right now, when it comes to the state of Florida and the fact that Amendment 3 is going to be put on the ballot for adult use cannabis to be legalized here in Florida, I believe it's going to happen. It's one of those things where I think there's more room for coverage of cannabis because the local news component, they have to go a different route because I think what they were doing before, they can't just go the same news route as they did. I think, you know, the way that people were kind of scared or angry or outraged, I think putting people through those kind of emotions don't work anymore. I think people just want to be, what really matters about me and my community now? What do you say?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we've noticed over the past 7 years is that a lot, you know, obviously there, cannabis companies come in all different shapes and sizes, right? So there's been a large focus from a PR perspective on, you know, some of the national, you know, cannabis companies, the MSOs, right. Largely. And, you know, you often see, you know, Kim Rivers or, you know, Boris Jordan on, you know, CNBC or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, there's sort of the national and, you know, often like largely, you know, financial sort of aspects of things. And then there's a gap in terms of sort of the you know, rest of national media. And, you know, you see certain publications like the New York Times. I know we've mentioned it multiple times here, but the New York Times is an interesting one because when we first got into the cannabis space back in 2018, there was no cannabis beat reporter. And for, you know, up until 2021 or 2022, when Ashley Southall started, it was, you know, working with different freelancers, many reporters who like really didn't know much about cannabis. And so we found ourselves, you know, with the Times, but also with many other national outlets, educating these reporters every single time they had to write a story because, you know, they were a health reporter, they're a tech reporter, they're a politics reporter, but they suddenly needed to become an expert on cannabis policy or, you know, cannabis, consumption. So, you know, that gap has now started to close, which is, you know, kind of a relief for us. But where we've actually seen,
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Some of the most traction and interest, but also value for a lot of our clients, is on the hyper-local level. We have had the opportunity over the last year to work with a number of dispensaries. And we're talking, you know, single state, single store dispensaries, largely in New York and New Jersey. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that when it
comes down to cannabis retail. People are looking to buy their cannabis close to where they live or work and cheap. But cheap's another topic for another time. But close to where they live or work is where we're going to focus at the moment. And so, you know, for NYC Bud, for instance, you know, we were able to get them in the Queens Courier, the Long Island City Post, the Daily News, the New York Post, you know, but it was a lot of it was focused on these local Queens outlets and New York City outlets, because that's what their customers are reading. And that's how their customers are finding, you know, credibility and, you know, finding that these were valid cannabis stores as compared to all of the illicit stores, which again is a whole other topic of conversation. But the local news, whether it was that client in Long Island City, our clients in Manhattan, our clients in New Jersey, getting those local hits from either the paper of record for the city or the town or the county, those placements mean a lot. And having the local elected officials there cutting a ribbon, that, you know, always also, you know, makes it into a moment for local media. Really, really matters. Local media is unfortunately shrinking. But those hits, you know, really do make a ton of difference.
Now, the other thing I always noticed too is that
from a lot of, and why we've,
yeah. So part of the thing I also noticed too, when it comes to approaches, especially on the local news side, is, I mean, I get a lot of pitches when it comes to social equity or trying to go ahead and go in that position of, well, look at the people of color that are, you know, running these businesses, or right now we're in the start of Pride Month. And so any LGBTQIA plus folks that are also in cannabis now, positioning them, I'm waiting for those emails to come in. It's just a matter of time. And it's one of those things. Oh, let's hear it. It's, everything's kind of timely and topical, and it just kind of the themes they'll go off of that works well. When it comes to that for you real quick, and then I want to go into the national level of news coverage, but what do you say about the local level when it comes to specifically social equity or positioning, let's say, more of a progressive side to cannabis?
I think a lot of that, and that's kind of what's actually what's interesting about the hyper-local stuff, is that a lot of it depends on the state that you're talking about. Because one of the things that we learned from getting to work with MSOs, particularly MSOs that were growing and moving into new states, was that the way that cannabis is covered from state to state to state is different. And sort of the trends, the politics are different from state to state. So, you know, sometimes, you know, in a certain state, you may want to sort of lean into some of those themes. In other states, you know, you kind of don't lean into those themes as much. You know, when it comes to, you know, about half of our clients are based in New York and New Jersey, both very progressive states. So, you know, we are very comfortable in those markets, you know, talking about, you know, our clients and, you know, especially those who are, you know, owned or founded or run by women and people of color and veterans. And, you know, we're always kind of looking for new angles. Obviously, you know, Pride is another opportunity that we're certainly going to lean into, you know, in New York. You know, what's nice is that, you know, again, as different states and as local media in different states kind of as cannabis becomes more normalized, they'll start to talk about it more. And some, you know, I've seen some outlets in different states start to do power lists and things like that. So, you know, that's very gratifying when you see these outlets that you never thought would want to talk about cannabis start to move into it and then acknowledge some of these broader themes like social equity and, you know, ensuring that cannabis is, you know, an industry for everyone.
Back with final questions after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
We're rounding the home stretch right now with Jordan Eisenstadt, Senior Vice President of Merino PR and founder of Merino Cannabis Practice. Now, when it comes to trying to get national coverage, and all I know is that with national coverage, as I mentioned, it goes to a lower common denominator. And some of these outlets, you know, if you get a 7-minute shot on, say, MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, or, you know, even network news, anything of a larger outlet that could be, you know, it's going to get a lot of eyeballs on it. I imagine that there's a lot of preparation of or anticipation of what could be asked. Like, I'm very much a proactive approach. You already have it, Marino, but to more of a point here, because in the story from PR News Online, they talk about when it comes to cannabis, the press can be as fickle as the industry itself, but they still want to cover it. And of course, they might have some long heralded beliefs or narratives that they have to continue to go ahead and push out there. So what do you do to counteract that? Because the thing is that for me, I was going back years ago when we had our conference series, and I wanted to go ahead and deal with being able to go and steer the portrayal and the narrative that cannabis is getting on a regular basis. I think there's a lot of stories. I still see, like, CBS News had a story about, what was it, some particular cannabis hub in New York, and they're showcasing, you know, some pretty prominent and really cool people when it comes to business owners in New York State. But the thing was, they're showing them all smoking flower. And I'm like, they're not doing edibles, they're not doing vapes. And, you know, it's like they wanted to make sure they put this particular narrative in place. It's the way they positioned it. And I don't know how much control you have on that, or if you just deny an interview or just give up on it because you know what they're going to do. What do you do about those kind of interviews when you're going to have that big exposure?
Well, you are right that there is an element where some things are out of our control. You know, as we often say, like, you know, we can prepare our clients and, you know, kind of get them ready for, you know, for the moment. But, you know, if it's like, you know, especially if it's live TV or even recorded, sometimes, you know, it's hard to, you know, predict, you know, what might come up. Obviously, we do the best job that we can, you know, both researching, you know, the reporter or the interviewers, you know, background, you know, questions that they've asked in the past. If they seem to have a certain point of view, we want to make sure that, you know, our client, you know, knows that. And, you know, then in terms of actual prep, we do very extensive prep sessions with our clients. Generally, we come up with, you know, loads and loads of different questions, some that are very friendly, some that are, you know, a lot less friendly. Some questions that, you know, dig into, you know, various, you know, stereotypes, you know, in the cannabis industry and, you know, prepare our clients to deal with those types of questions. You know, if it's a larger business, you know, they may have to address questions about, you know, finances or, you know, questions or layoffs or whatever the case may be. So, you know, they have to be ready for those. You know, if it's a hyper local dispensary, they're going to have to be prepared for, you know, for other, you know, types of questions. I think the two, you know, I think we're talking about two different types of media here, though. We're talking about broadcast, which is you've got a short amount of time to say your messages. So, you know, oftentimes we'll walk into those things with like, if you're going to say anything, these are the three things that you need to say. And, you know, sometimes you need to take the reporter's question and kind of pivot into that answer. But, you know, we kind of make sure that like, these are the three things that we want to make sure that you say, and, you know, we kind of give them some general rules of engagement. When it comes to, national, like print or digital media, like the New York Times or something like that, you may do a 90-minute interview and only one or two sentences will end up getting into that story. So you got to make sure that everything that you say is great and quality, because if you say one thing offhandedly, you know, that could end up being the one line that ends up in the story. So you want to make sure that you're like really, really on it in those situations. But yeah, prep for any kind of an interview, it always takes like a slightly different shape or form. And these are some of the challenges that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Wow. Yeah. And that's the thing is that it's very hard. I can imagine it would be few and far between for some groups out there to get that TV shot in the first place. And whenever we get somebody on board, I have gotten so fed up with seeing certain, you know, anchors or certain hosts of a program that might be on op-ed show, right? Not even so much news, but of course, most of the cable network news, they can be very much opinion editorialized. When they do their interviews anyway, they can insert that in. That's now that there's a cloudy separation now. It's not even a separation anymore. It's kind of just now all together jumbled. And that's why the internet is becoming much more prominent when it comes to news. But for me, when I see some interviews start off and then they ask a question that triggers, and unfortunately, because it's a live shot, if that person doesn't find a way to just kind of keep tampered down and not get triggered by the question, and then start going into an area so that the host starts taking over and they want to go ahead and start burying whoever they have on, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. It's one of those things where I feel like those that get the chance to go on the air, yeah, it's, again, there's so much proper preparation, but it's also for the folks that you don't want to get baited by some of these people that might just look at doing some gotcha journalism, you know, like something out of a Hard Copy Current Affair or Inside Edition. Like, we don't need to do that. We don't need to play into that either. And that's one of those things that I look at for the sake of the cannabis industry. If we want to be legitimized even more so than every person that comes on board, I mean, you want to be able to show who you are, you know, show who best identifies with the industry. No question about that. But it's also knowing that these people can't get one-ups on us at all. Doesn't need to happen. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, it's a shame that we're still operating defensively, and that this is a reality that in, you know, major network news broadcast, there could still be, misinformation or, you know, stereotypes about, you know, the lazy stoner or, driving while intoxicated or, you know, increase in, you know, cannabis use among minors and, you know, things like that. So
hitting them all. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I live in a community where these things come up a lot. So I'm used to hearing you know, some of these arguments. And yeah, I mean, look, I think the key is to prepare your clients to, you know, not be operating from a defensive position. Accept the question as, you know, someone's point of view, and to, you know, answer it, you know, calmly, and then pivot into whatever, you know, your key message is. I mean, a lot of the time we're talking about, our clients are talking about the legal market and how, you know, most people, when they're referring to cannabis on national news or whatever, in many ways, they're still referring to, you know, the illicit market, and they're referring to, you know, sort of old information, whereas when you look at what the, you know, various legal markets have, you know, been able to do, both in terms of, you know, taxation, for local communities, better education, for communities about cannabis, you actually see decreases in youth cannabis use, decreases in, driving while intoxicated. So, you know, the facts are there, but it's about being prepared, right? So, like, right. You know, if I walked into an interview and someone, you know, threw a lot of incorrect misinformation against me, you know, I know and I can prepare my clients with, you know, the data points to, you know, disprove a lot of what is being thrown at them. So, yeah, I mean, look, knowledge is power, right? And this is a marathon. I mean, that's one of the things about cannabis. I'd like my first MJ BizCon 2018, the CEO of MJ Biz said, we are at the first step of the first mile of a marathon. And I feel that, you know, every day we've got, you know, a very, very long way to go here. Maybe we're on the second step of the mile at this point, but, you know, we've got a long way to go. And one of the key parts is educating people. And that is our mission, really, at Marino and at the Marino Cannabis Practice, is we are educating people through media, and we're using our clients as the educators. So we're educating the average consumer. We're also educating stakeholders. We're educating, the people who make some of these local decisions, and who are sort of the tastemakers and the influencers. So, you know, this is a battle. It really is, like, you know, one by one by one. But, rescheduling, to bring it back full circle, rescheduling was very validating, because that's the federal government saying, hey, you know, actually cannabis does have some, medicinal value. And, you know, we shouldn't treat it as such an illicit substance. So, you know, I think we've come a long way, but we certainly have a long way to go. And, you know, it's important to correct these myths. And that's a lot of what we do and a lot of what our clients end up doing as well.
Done over 800 interviews for Cannabis Radio so far. Wow. If I had to give like a basic ballpark estimate. And one of the things I always think about most when it comes to this is, and I've heard this from other people in the news out there, creating signal above the noise. And that the signal that you put out there, regardless of what you, the circumstances you have of who you're working with on whatever kind of client to try to get their message across, it's creating a signal above the noise to make sure that there are takeaways and there are things that are understood and learned and appreciated from every interview and every media opportunity out there. For me, that's what's important to me. And that's why I think what I've done with the programming here on Cannabis Radio has been very important, that I want to make sure I get that signal out. And, you know, I'm not here to go ahead and waste people's time. If I'm going to give somebody 30 minutes, like I give you, they're going to get something out of it. I want takeaways for everything that's coming out of here. So, you know, it's, of course, making sure to take care of the clients, but it's also for me, taking care of the listeners, taking care of my audience, the viewership, the circulation, the listenership, whatever it might be. I'm going to care about them, and there can be a good bond that can be put forward. And I think what we've done in the last few years, Jordan, you and I, from putting you here, been programming for, let's say, Cannabis Roundup or Plant Profits or Blunt Business or Grassroots Marketing or Green Peak. We've had a lot of work on all those, and I think that's the initiative that goes. And it's been great that we've had a chance to go and like work on such great projects here. We've had some really, I think we've done a lot of that kind of work. A lot of great takeaways, a lot of great information being put out there. And I really appreciate you, you know, working with us all this time to help us get some great people on the air and some great expertise. So I want to give you that shout out here on the program here. But real quickly,
thank you. Those,
of course, a pleasure. So let's go ahead and give you over to Marino PR. Again, marinopr.com, marinopr.com. And for those that would be interested in reaching out to your team and seeing, well, Jordan knows what he's talking about, and you have worked the gamut from hyperlocal all the way to national. If there's any PR companies that are, or any cannabis companies right now that, you know, they don't see themselves looking to bring somebody from marketing or trying to do something in-house, they want to go ahead and outsource and they need a team like yours, why should they come to Marino PR?
Yeah, so what we've done at Marino PR is we have built an expertise in cannabis policy, regulations, different, you know, routes of administration, and, you know, had the chances to work with clients up and down the supply chain from, you know, kind of very small entities to some of the largest cannabis companies in the world. We've become experts in, you know, anything, you know, having to do with cannabis communications. And, you know, like you said earlier, we've had the chance to run award-winning, you know, communications campaigns for our clients. So we're very passionate about this industry. We're very excited to be a part of it. And looking to continue working with clients who are, you know, committed to growing the industry. So if you have, you know, communications and marketing needs, if you're looking to put your company, your store, your entity, on the map, it is often actually cheaper to hire a PR firm than to bring someone in-house. And, you know, when you work with Marino, you get a full team of, you know, 3 to 5 communications professionals who are working on your behalf day in and day out. And, you know, it's very exciting to be a part of an industry with, you know, so many, you know, interesting people doing so many interesting things. If you want to reach out, very simple email address, cannabis@marinopr.com. And we're here for, you know, everything from, you know, sort of more of your corporate PR to, market entry to, you know, bringing new products to market, We've recently actually started doing more digital work to complement the PR work. So we now do social media for cannabis clients. We've been doing a lot of influencer work for cannabis entities, and we continue to grow. So yeah, we are your we are your cannabis PR partner.
Fantastic. Jordan, thank you again for being on with us again. Jordan Eisenstadt, Senior VP for Marino PR. Thanks again for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for listening as always. We'll talk to you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.